Blog Talk Radio.
What is up? It's time for another edition of SNY's the KnicksBlog.com Knicks Blog Radio. Anthony Downey, Tony Rice Balls, and of course Tommy D with you. We're going to take you up until 9 o'clock. And then, Tommy, what's going on, brother? The worst thing about doing a radio show, and even like a friend of mine, BT, Brandon Tierney, you obviously know him, says it too, I hate the first 30 seconds of the show, Tommy, because as the host, you never know exactly what to say, even though you know what you're going to say.
Exactly, and we might as well just get right into it. You know, the Stackhouse stuff, Nate tweeting.
Tommy, I have breaking news, and I hate to get silly on the show on the KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio, and obviously you know the number to call up, 646-478-5554. I think Donnie Walsh is having Chris Gatlin and Kendall Gill in on Thursday. what is this, Tommy? What is this? Come on. Jerry Stackhouse, Jason Williams, even Grant Hill, Jason Kidd. We're not in 1999.
And I said that Ed O'Bannon and Charles O'Bannon will be playing one-on-one for a roster spot.
I mean, seriously, come on. I mean, a few years ago, Jerry Stackhouse, nice piece. I'm sure he could still ball. I mean, Stackhouse is fit. I'm sure he can still play. I'm sure Jay Will can still play. I'm sure Grant Hill can still play. But what's up with all the old guys, man? Come on. Tommy.
I think it's a lot like last year when they brought back Allen Houston. They are looking for that veteran leader in the locker room is something clearly they don't have as much as you.
But I think Stackhouse can still play, though, as opposed to Houston couldn't play last year. I think Stack could probably still play, but in the direction the Knicks are going, I mean, I never heard of Stackhouse being a great leader. I'm not saying he's not, but I never heard Stack is some great leader. Now, I would take Stack a couple years ago. I got no problem with Jerry Stackhouse, but that's just so random. And same with Jason Williams. You don't need Jason Williams. Even he's a good point guard, though. I mean, I loved him with the Kings early in his career. He really never got very far in the playoffs. But he was fun to watch with those plays in transition. But, I mean, do you need Jason Williams now, Tommy?
Well, I don't know if it's so much, and I don't really get the Williams thing, and you're not hearing Jamal Tinsley anymore. I think the Stackhouse thing is that Carolina connection, kind of Donnie, you know, doing a favor and seeing if Stack still has anything left. To me, I really just think it's the anti Isaiah, and maybe fans aren't really feeling it so much, but it's
I don't know how Jerry Stackhouse and Jason Williams wins basketball games, and we'll get to your calls in a little bit.
I'm with you.
646-478-5554. We usually me and Tommy like to talk the first 10 minutes, then we'll get to your calls. So I know there's a couple calls on the line. Stay right there. We'll get to you. And I mean, I understand it. Listen, anything the opposite of Isaiah is better than Isaiah, but I don't see how getting the players, even Grant Hill, who could wear down by January, I don't know how these guys win you basketball games.
I just think it's more of, you know, the media. I mean, you know, we can kind of pick up on stuff, and you know, you kind of get these things about this guy coming in for a workout, whereas Isaiah would just be like, we're signing this guy, it's a done deal. You know, we don't even need to look at him. So
he would have gave Stackhouse probably a 4-year deal. I mean, with $35 million. You know,
there you
I mean,
go.
Yeah, he probably would have. I mean, You couldn't blame Stackhouse. It's like you couldn't blame Jamal Crawford for signing a 7-year, $56 million deal, $58 million. You couldn't blame Jerome James or Jared Jeffries for signing. Think about it with right now, the way I feel like every show we always throw in some, can you believe Isaiah really did that thing? And I'm going to throw another one in there. Can you believe, especially with today's economy, that 3 and 4 years ago, respectively, Isaiah Thomas signed Jerome James and Jared Jeffries each to 5-year, $30 million contracts. Can you believe that?
Well, and I think that's where this Ramon Sessions stuff, you know, Donnie's not competing with anybody right now, so it really should come down to the numbers, whereas as Isaiah would just say, hey, I'm competing against myself,
I
got the
isn't
money.
Isn't that the weirdest thing just, with the Jerome and Jared signs, that he was competing with nothing?
That's it, and to me, that's where I kind of throw the onus on Steve Mills, who was an intelligent guy and certainly is no longer with the organization. What happened with Steve Mills? He got moved.
I don't want to be wrong on the air, and if I'm wrong, I'll accept it. I think he's not even with the Garden anymore, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, well, and I really point the finger, and I did a lot, you know, during the Isaiah era. I did point the finger at Steve Mills and saying, you know, this guy, he went to Princeton. He's a very intelligent man.
Doesn't mean
he
knows basketball, though. He might know banking.
I think he
knows hoops.
He played there, too, but for me, it was more like, okay, Isaiah's coming in, and, you know, trust me on this guy. We're going to give him an escalated, huge, long-term
contract.
Remember
the Jerome James press conference? We're getting him in the right time in his career.
I mean, you look back on it with hilarity, and again, when you come down to not being able to manage negotiations, which Donnie, of course, with his own law degree, he clearly has.
Oh, he's good. No, listen, obviously, when it comes to negotiations, Donnie probably is very good at that, and we'll obviously take calls about that, 646-478-5554. Yeah, Tommy, you're definitely right. There's a ton more to get to. We'll get back to that stuff. Obviously, the Ramon, other things that are on the table, the Ramon Sessions thing, looks like he's probably going to be a Nick. We'll see. I think whether he becomes a Nick or not, I'm not sure, but I think the Allen Iverson situation is something worth talking about. I'll tell you a little bit why I think the Knicks should sign him. I think it's a risk, but it's a huge reward. You'd only give him a one-year contract, Tommy. And I think Allen Iverson has a ton of gas in the tank left. I'm telling you that right now, he does. Watched him courtside last year, early in the season. He's still moving like he was back in 2001 when the Sixers won 50-plus games and went to the finals. He was in a bad situation in Detroit. I think he got the blame for that. In my opinion, if Tommy, if callers are, Tommy, you think I'm wrong, I thought the situation in Detroit with Iverson was, it was a bad basketball fit. Because, if anything, if you would have traded, say, Richard, forget the money thing, if you would have traded, say, Richard Hamilton, kept Chauncey and put Iverson off the wall with Chauncey, you have a much different team with no real point guard, and Iverson and Hamilton and Stuckey. It just didn't work basketball-wise, and I feel, and Tommy, tell me if I'm wrong, that Iverson got a bad rap for that last season.
Well, I agree, and I do think that, you know, fans are kind of just off that Stephon Marbury hangover. You know, they feel that Iverson is a typical type of player. Here's my thing with Iverson, it's very simple. I had a ton of respect for Iverson in Philly when, you know, he basically beat the Lakers that one game by himself. But it was
Ron Lue, one of the great NBA moments ever.
Oh yeah, but it was Larry Brown who put Eric Snow at the one and moved Iverson to the two.
Oh, that was a great move.
Iverson effective in Detroit, like you said, if he had Billups and him at the two, then that's a whole different story with
or any true
being
point guard.
One, he's off the ball. He's an effective player. If you paired Iverson with a Duhon or with a Sessions, then you've got a pretty solid backcourt.
Get you assists though. Iverson off the ball still gets 6 to 7 assists a game.
I totally
because
agree.
Because he does make plays for others.
It's a no lose situation for a year. But again, you know, what are you doing with Nate? What are you doing with Larry Hughes? What are you doing with Duhon? You just drafted Tony Douglas. You know, and if you bring in Sessions. Now you've got a really, really
oh, big definitely. I think you could probably work out a. All right, my guess is here, and callers, don't go anywhere. We'll start taking calls in about 5 minutes. 646-478-5554. Stay on the line, please. Don't go anywhere. Oh, I think with Hughes, you could probably get a buyout. If you bring in Iverson, you probably just wouldn't bring back Nate at all. So I mean, and that's a big if. I mean, Donnie Walsh has spoke to Leon Rose, but it's kind of been under the table. It really hasn't been out there, and I wonder what that conversation was like.
Well, to me, be careful with the Larry Hughes buyout stuff because Donnie's been quoted in saying it's bad business to buy players out. So Hughes will be on the roster until the trade deadline when they can move him to a team that is, you know, desperate for cap relief. That's one. And two, I think they want to hold on to Nate, you know, and you hear the Twitters and Nate's coming back. I don't know if – I would assume for 100% fact, which really is a kind of a strange statement in and of itself, but I don't think D'Antoni wants him in the locker room.
100%.
I don't think D'Antoni wants him in the locker room, but I think Donnie can sell him on the fact and saying, well, he's a piece that we may be able to move a Jared Jeffries with him during the year, so we may be able to bring him back on the cheap. Don't expect Nate to sign a couple-year contract. One-year deal, but when you talk about an Iverson, you know, if Iverson isn't signed, then, you know, maybe the Knicks can bring Nate back and then try to move him earlier mid-season, maybe a November-type deal, and then maybe bring Iverson in towards the middle of the year.
Do you think, Iverson, Coach D'Antoni would want to coach Iverson? Because I think Iverson probably is coachable. You got to realize he was coached by Larry Brown. The only guys Larry Brown didn't have a problem with were guys like Eric Snow and Eric McKee. And even if you hear Eric Snow on NBA TV, even he said he had his – you know, things with Larry Brown. And I think D'Antoni would like coaching Iverson, and I think Iverson would totally fit in the system. He would, you know, he'd learn not to dribble as much and basically be catching the ball, attacking the rim. Iverson would get to the line 15 times a game. He can shoot from the outside. And off the ball, I don't have the stats in front of me. He probably is in the top five in assists for shooting guards in the league. He gets dimes every game.
The biggest problem with Iverson and his, you know,
and he'll get steals, too.
Oh yeah, no, he plays hard, but the biggest problem with Iverson is this perception of, you know, practice, and we're talking about practice, and that really obviously rubs a lot of people the wrong way. In games, he plays very, very hard. In practice, it is what it is.
Well, Tommy, I think that's something the media is definitely overblown, because I've spoken to players, writers, because now over the last year, Knicks writers have gotten to go into the gym during practice. For the most part, Tommy, from what I've heard and spoken to players about, former players that if you're a star player or if you're nursing a sore body, when the team is practicing, you will just sit on the side.
Sure. Oh, no question.
I think, obviously, because of the way Iverson, the whole practice, we're talking about practice, that was totally overblown. I mean, when Pat Riley coached the Lakers, you think Magic and Kareem were busting their ass in the middle of January on a practice? No, they weren't. They were probably on the side looking at sets. You know, I think that totally got overblown by Larry Brown if a guy practices, because if you're getting beat up day in and day out and you have a practice on a Wednesday and you have a TNT game Thursday night, the odds of you going hard to practice that particular player, if you're the star player dropping 30 a night, are not very good. You're probably going to be on the side just shooting free throws. And I don't have a problem with that if, as long as you bring it on the court, because it's not high school and you have to keep these guys' bodies fresh. And if that means them not going all out of practice in the middle of January, well, I don't have a problem with that. Now, hopefully the guys on their team understand that, hey, his body is beat up. He can't go 100% in practice. Not everybody's Michael Jordan. And I know, for example, Iverson, he takes a beating every game.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head. To me, there's two types of superstars. There's superstars who lead in practice and on the court, and there's superstars who just lead specifically on the court. And there's nothing wrong to me with either, but there's a much bigger respect factor from the players for guys who come out and bring it in practice and lead by
example. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And hey,
I can't take any days
off. And Iverson does not have that. You know, those players looking up to him and saying, hey, this guy never took a day off. He's a great player. He plays unbelievably hard in games. At the end of the day, ultimately, is he a fit on this team? I don't see him being a fit on this team, because I think in Donnie's mind, and Frank Isola and I were talking about it the other day on Friday, and this Friday you will be making your television debut, so be ready for that. We talked about that. But Frank was saying that Nate is an asset, so I think at the end of the day, for Donnie, he wants to bring Nate back and have an opportunity to trade him throughout the course of the year.
But it would be a nice little buzz too. The Knicks haven't had a huge star here in a while. We thought it was Marbury. I'm just all about it because if it doesn't work, then no one. If you bring in Iverson, and we'll talk about Iverson later as the show goes on. We'll get into other issues with Lee. God, how much can we talk about the David Lee and Nate Robinson situation, Tommy? I'm getting nauseous talking about it. But I think it'd be cool, and if it doesn't work, then honestly, I don't think any fans would be mad, because you only gave him a 1-year contract. If it doesn't work, you could deal with the deadline, because some team will take him, and then Iverson's going to have to figure stuff out for his own self. But if it doesn't work, fans aren't going to be in an uproar. Even I'm a fan. I won't be in an uproar. I'll be like, it was a high risk, high reward. And I think the reward is a lot bigger than the risk. I truly believe it. I think that they should try it, and if it doesn't work, I don't think any fan would be mad. And let's start the calls, because we've been 15 minutes in the show, we haven't taken any calls yet. There are a ton of calls in the line, got a bunch. So if we have you know the deal. I'll say your area code, start talking. And if it's your area code but it's not you, well, just keep waiting. Look, it's internet radio. We have no call screener. If it's your first time listening, so let's get to the calls. 646-478-5554 is the number. Let's start with Long Island area code 631. You're on the air. Knicksblog.com, Knicksblog Radio, and obviously state your name when you first get on the air.
Hey, it's just Sean. I have a few questions, but obviously everybody wants Eric Curry off the books, and as far as I know, Houston's probably the biggest market for him. Who do you think we'd be able to get from Houston, or who would even we want from Houston?
Who would the Knicks want? I mean, I think that if obviously Tracy McGrady makes a lot more than Eddie Curry, Tommy, I think if they could work out a deal where you would get McGrady back and the Knicks would give another contract to Houston, they would do that, because McGrady expires at the end of the year. That's kind of like an Iverson. It's a 1-year thing. Comes right off the books. If the Rockets are willing to do McGrady for Curry and somebody else, I'm doing that in a second, because, like Tommy, you mentioned in the previous show, you're getting Curry off the books. And, hey, McGrady, I'm sure he has some game left. Guy just can't stay healthy.
You're going to have to give up Curry and a pretty solid piece to make that McGrady trade. It does seem like it's a fit. Right now, with Al Curry being on the floor, obviously it's far, far from happening.
But Curry's going to have to play a couple games before he gets traded, because teams are going to really need to see if he really in shape, B, can he play, you know, like that. So, obviously, he's dropped a ton of weight. Unless, you know, you could drop weight and still not ball. So, I mean, hopefully he can get on the court and play some ball. And, you know, maybe, and might not just be the Rockets. The Rockets could use a big man. But the Rockets are moving. You know what, Tommy? The Rockets are moving in a different direction where if they probably still had Ron, they might look to get Curry. I mean, why would they take on 2 years of, you know, basically almost $20 million for a team that's rebuilding for a center that's not proving himself? I don't see the Rockets doing that, but I could be wrong.
It's a dangerous move for the Rockets based on the fact that they are definitely on the other side of the hill and to have.
Yeah, so how do you take a center that 2 years left is a lot of money?
Oh, yeah. But, you have to give up that Mobley deal. You know, maybe they can work out a package and send in Hughes' contract, which is expiring. Maybe they would want Chandler. They're not just going to take Curry off your hands, even if he is performing on the court.
Who do you think, what team would take Curry for just him and maybe like a Robinson if we bring him in, or even just giving up another one of our contracts that are expiring?
To me,
what team?
That's a tough question. I mean, you could go up any teams. I would maybe the Bobcats. Tommy, do you have any other idea? Another team that maybe would take Curry? Maybe the Bobcats. Larry Brown apparently liked them.
The Rockets just brought in
Tyson Chandler, so I don't see that. But you know what, Tommy? Actually, Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry played very well together in Chicago in the 2004-2005 season, and before that even, because Chandler did all the dirty work, all the rebounding, the block shots, and Eddie Curry just caught the ball and scored.
they had one decent year for sure, but I would say a good suitor for I would say not the Charlotte, but I would say a good suitor for Curry would be a good team, like a really good playoff team, you know, third or fourth round playoff.
The Spurs playing next to Duncan, something like that.
Right, where they can use Curry for what he's worth, 15 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game, coming off the bench and just, you know, wreaking havoc and beating up the other team's big men. Maybe a Boston, you know, maybe to me, again, it would be a team that is well-coached, has a need at the with the front line, can spend a little money, and thinks that, you know, a 300-pound guy with some skills on the block can put them over the top. I mean, that's what you're going to have to see. And honestly, Curry's going to have to play really, really, really hard to get to NBA basketball, to get to NBA basketball, let alone get to playoff basketball. So it's going to be a long road.
Oh, no question. We thank you for the phone call. And in about 10 to 20 minutes here on the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio, we'll get into the schedule. Me personally, I'm very excited the Knicks will play on Christmas Day, and we'll get more into that as this show goes on. Obviously, the Knicks open up on Wednesday, October 28th. Down in South Beach in Miami versus Dwayne Wade. And the Heat with the home opener after they play the Bobcats the 30th, and the home opener is the 31st at the Garden. We'll get more on that as the show goes on and the summer goes on. 646-478-5554 is the number. Let's go to area code 325. You're on the air, KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio.
Hi, my name's Corey, living out in San Antonio, Texas right now, from New York.
San Antonio? I just said this. Wait, how? Corey, are you really calling from San Antonio? I just said the Spurs, and I get a call from San Antonio. That is crazy.
Canal. I like that.
That is crazy. So what's up, Corey?
I'm thinking
Knick fan
that
or are you Knick
I'm
fan
not
there?
Liking the Sessions deal at all. I'm really not liking the Sessions deal. I mean, he looks good. The numbers are good, but the way in D'Antoni's offense, I just don't think that he's going to fit in there. He's not going to fit as a screen and roll guy. His three-point percentage is terrible. I mean, he can't shoot from beyond the arc, you know?
Yeah, D'Antoni
I'm all about bringing in AI.
And D'Antoni likes guys who could shoot. Here's the thing what I want to say about Sessions, and I'm not saying, let's say the Knicks sign Sessions tomorrow for the sake of this conversation here on the KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio. And I'll get to you, Tommy, you chime in after I say this. Here's the thing that worries me about Ramon Sessions. I'm not saying he's going to be good. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. What I'm saying is, I understand the Bucks situation with their financials and getting Hakeem Warrick, releasing Bruce Bowen, all the dollars and cents issues. I get that. I'm very weary of a team that just lets a young point guard go for nothing, because it makes me think, even though maybe Skiles didn't like him, if he's this good, why are you letting him go for nothing and letting the Knicks just take him from you? And if that's the case, either there's something bad about him that the Knicks don't know, or the general manager of the Milwaukee Bucks should be fired for letting a young point guard just go, because you know what? Young point guards just don't grow on trees, bottom line.
No, I totally agree, and I had spoke to
him. And I'm not saying he's going to be good or bad. I'm just saying it's a little weird when a team just wants to give up a guy for free, Tommy.
It's something that I still really can't believe, especially with Villanueva as well. And I spoke to a scout yesterday or over the last couple of days, and he said the same thing that Corey said in terms of the pick and roll. All a big man has to do all a guard has to do is get under the pick and roll and basically dare Sessions to shoot, which you can't. And then
at least Chris can shoot a little bit.
Duhon can at least shoot, and then Alan Hahn today in his one of his posts on the blog said that they envision Gallinari as being kind of a point forward. So I guess it's the idea is to get the ball out of the point guard's hands and into Gallinari's hands early in the shot clock and let him make the decisions. But that to me doesn't make much sense when you talk about having a guy like Steve Nash run the Suns offense. So, you know, the guard is a huge, huge part of D'Antoni's offense. They want to have a guy who can quarterback this team, and if he can't do it in the system with pick and rolls, which, listen, every play, every possession there was pick and rolls. I mean, they did some high post stuff, but for the most part it was Duhon and Lee and, you know, trying to figure out off that. So if Sessions can't shoot and can't make that guard get over a screen and respect you, then I agree with Corey. It's going to be an interesting fit if it does happen, which I really think is kind of holding up things now based on, you know, the contract and everything. They don't want to throw everything at him. They want to give themselves some leeway. They want to give themselves some leeway just in case that is the case.
And, Corey, you're calling from San Antonio. Were you living in San Antonio 10 years ago in 1999?
Actually, yeah, I've been living in Texas since 98, actually. I'm in the military. So.
How old are you?
28.
So was it tough for you in 1999 with the Spurs running the chip, parading around the Alamo and watching your Knicks lose down there?
Yeah, I tell you what, because I get to go to all the Spurs games, so I get to watch them every time they play the Knicks here, and it's relatively cheap, and it was.
What's
rough.
Their crowd? Their crowd is boring, though. I've watched this. They're on them on TV. They're loyal fans, but they're boring fans. Is that right? Is that the right perception?
Pretty much so. Yeah, it's not. They're not too. They don't get too hyped up over much, you know.
Yeah, they've only won 4 championships, and yeah, it's a thing. Corey, thanks for the call, man. We thank you for the support. Keep tuning in to the KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio. Thank you for the call.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Corey. Military guy. Thanks for everything.
Definitely. Always appreciative. And it's nice to get callers from, you know, random area coaches. Even before, I don't know if you knew, Tommy, before I said 325, I was thinking, where the heck's 325? Let's go to another area code I don't know. 646-478-554 is the number. Bunch of callers on the line. Stay on the line. And let's go now to area code 661. You're on the air at KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio.
Hey, how's it going? This is
Adam.
Now,
where is 661, Adam?
661 is actually Southern California.
Nice.
Wait. Caller from Texas then to California. Wow.
Yeah.
We've got nationals.
This is national.
Yeah.
When we get a call from, like, some country around the globe, I forgot social studies. I'd name one if I could. No, I'm just kidding. When we get a call from Europe, then it's on. But what's going on, Adam?
Oh, not much. I was actually kind of curious just in terms of Tony Douglas. You know, with all this point guard searching that it seems like the Knicks are looking at, you know, I'm kind of curious why they even bothered drafting Tony Douglas, because I personally was kind of excited about that pick because, you know, young guy, he can seems like he can run the point pretty decently. I watch all the summer league games. I know it's summer league, but, you know, still.
Oh, yeah, you never want to get too hyped up summer league. Like I said, when I was in high school, I used to tear up the summer league, then when the game started, I never got in the game. But, no, seriously, yeah,
right.
Tommy, that's definitely next
crazy,
point.
Bro.
Why,
don't get crazy.
You know the league, the coaches run on Monday to Thursday mornings, and when the real game started in the winter, I couldn't get off the bench just because I had to showboat too much.
When all the other kids were at Five Star and ABCD camps, then they let the other kids play in the other.
No, I actually went to Golden Valley, and Bill Wennington came, and his quote was, you know, 3 months. It was in 1995. He said, you know, 3 months ago, kids, me and Michael Jordan combined for 57 points versus the Knicks. Ha, ha, ha. I had 2. He had 55.
You're right.
We all know about that one. With the Knicks triple-team Mike, and there's Bill Wennington under the
back. Yep. Wide open layup.
Well, Adam, to answer your deal about Tony Douglas, you know, keep in mind that Duhon is on 1 year, or this is going to be his last year, and
right.
You can't foresee him coming back. So this will be a learning process for Douglas. He'll see sparse minutes, but certainly not major rotation minutes. They love him. He's going to be, you know, the backup, hopefully, that, you know, can grow into something much better as the years go on. But he's going to be a Nick, and they're very, very high on him, as they should be. He's a tremendous two-way player, and your eyes
right.
aren't deceiving you. He's going to be a really good Nick, and maybe not this year, but you'll see him next year.
Yeah, and especially if the Knicks aren't coming out guns blazing and going, you know, 20-5 the first 25 games. They're going to want to let their young guns get some minutes. And, Adam, you know, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for calling from Cali. We definitely appreciate it here at KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio. And, yeah, like, it's telling you don't want to do what the Knicks did to Wilson Chandler his first year. Because the Knicks, it was so weird because the Knicks were losing every night, Tommy. And Wilson, the worst thing is when you have a first-round player, you're not winning, and you still not playing that kid. I never really understood that. I don't even want to get into that because it's just another Isaiah thing that I feel like we'll be doing the show in 2025, and we'll be like, so you still remember that thing Isaiah did with so-and-so? Because that's how much of a disaster that guy was. And 646-478-5554, let's go to area code 212 Manhattan. Knicksblog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. What's going on?
Hi, this is Benji from Manhattan. How are you
Benji,
both?
Benji, what up?
What's up, Benji?
Hi. I'm getting kind of frustrated as a Knicks fan.
Action.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at the point where I, as a Knicks fan, it's been such a struggle the last 10 years, basically since 99, such that I get excited about any players. So Gary Stackhouse coming in is exciting for me. But the way I see it, out of these five players, Jason Williams, Ramon Sessions, Stackhouse, Iverson, who am I missing? And Tinsley, I would be ecstatic if we could get two out of those players. I know some of those guys are old, but, I mean...
What do you think about Iverson? Would you want to bring him in for one season?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It makes so much sense. I understand Donnie. I got to put my faith in Donnie, but he's taken so long to make these deals. I mean, every day you read that you're getting close to a deal. It's imminent. Oh, they're still talking. I don't know what could be taking so long. If you want a player, go out. Give them. You don't have to necessarily overpay them, but go give them the money. This team clearly needs a point guard. They need some additions. Make the moves. It's painful.
They definitely tried early with Kidd. They struck out. They tried with Grant Hill. They struck out. They tried with Andre Miller. They struck out. I think they're on a full count, 3-2 with Ramon Sessions. We'll see what happens. But like I said, the Bucks seem like they're willing to give him away. And like I said, told Tommy, that that kind of scares me, that a team is willing to give away a player. And if he becomes out to be an all-star, a six-time all-star in the next 8 years, then Bucks management should be fired. And if he doesn't, then you're going to say, oh, the Bucks knew something about this guy.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. As far as Sessions, I know the rap on him is he can't shoot. All I can tell you is he's made every shot I've ever seen him take, against the Knicks especially. So
well, everybody does. I mean, yeah. Eric Anderson dropped 50 against us a couple years ago. Come on.
Yeah, interestingly enough, that guy, Mike Taylor for the Clippers, the Clippers waved him. He had about 35 points, and he looked like Tim Hardaway against the Knicks.
Oh, that would have been an Isaiah signing right there. And Benji, to kind of ease a little bit of your frustration, it's definitely the complete and utter opposite of Isaiah with Donnie's negotiating skills. There's no offers for Sessions, so he can really be patient and take it slow. And like we were saying before about the scout that I talked to about the pick and roll, I think anybody who plays in the NBA can kind of turn the corner on a screen and kind of pull up off the dribble and knock down shots. I think it's more extending it out to the perimeter. So when you think of maybe adding a guy, like in 2010, the name who I'm going to say, those guys like to stand around.
A guy named LeBron.
Right. I mean, Gibson and obviously Mo Williams and those guys, they stand around. They can catch and shoot from behind the arc. So obviously you're putting the cart before the horse with LeBron. But I think Donnie's giving himself a little bit of an out just in case Sessions, really proves to be a very poor outside shooter, because Douglas doesn't look like he can really shoot it from outside as of yet. He can certainly develop, and Sessions can as well. But in terms of the frustrations, just be cool, because in this market it's a different time, it's a different year, so it should feel more frustrating. But I think a lot has to do with the economy, and Donnie's going to get something done.
Also, I wanted to just add one last point. All these big free agents are they're going to get locked up to extensions by their teams. That's what it seems like, with Brandon Roy, all these guys, potential 2010 free agents. So that worries me a little bit as well, that the number of free agents available are now not going to be necessarily available. I think that makes it even much more important for Donnie Walsh to strike big. I mean, Jerry Stackhouse isn't a huge addition, but I'll take him on my team.
I mean, depends how much you're giving them. I mean, the Knicks have, Tommy was mentioned earlier in the show, and Benji, we thank you for the phone call here on KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. We have an abundance of guards. We have a plethora of guards. We have a ton of guards. I mean, Eddie Jerry, if it's not Allen Iverson, who is still a superstar, I mean, he had a terrible year last year, and the guy averaged 18 points and 6 dimes. You wouldn't take 18 and 6 in your backcourt, and obviously next year he's going to put up huge numbers, mark my words on that, but I don't see the point in Jerry Stackhouse. I just don't see the point in that. Maybe, like I said, maybe 5 years ago when he was dropping 30 a night for the Pistons, but that was that. This is now 646-478-5554. And, Tommy, you obviously saw the schedule. And I'll tell you what, I am excited about playing on Christmas Day. I know hopefully my family, we usually do things Christmas Eve night and later in the day on Christmas, so the game's at 12 o'clock, I'll be fine, but I'm playing Christmas Day in the National Basketball Association is a big deal. The Knicks have not played in that game in 8 years. I think it's nice. I'm excited about it.
Well, to me, it always goes back to the Bernard
Key
game and
before my time.
And the Patrick Ewing putback on Christmas Day. I remember watching that game on I think it was a CBS game. Pat O'Brien and I think Tommy Heinsohn did the call, and it was I remember watching it on a little black and white TV in my kitchen, and it was kind of the dawning of the new era for the Knicks because it was Jordan and everybody was going nuts, and it was a big deal, and it should be a big deal for the Knicks. Hopefully they can step. And it was kind of ironically it's going to be kind of a similar deal, right? I mean. Besides the fact that the Knicks, you know, don't have that young up-and-coming star that they had in Ewing, here comes Wade into town, right? And the Knicks aren't good, so maybe this can give a little jolt to the Knicks, you know, and saying, okay, maybe we can make a big statement on a Christmas game. You know, they're going to play hard. They got
five national TV games. Not too bad. Not too bad. More than
the house,
the one they had last year. What's that?
Protect the house. You know, people on national TV. Teams come in. You got to represent.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there was not. I remember even me being a kid from like 92 to basically 2001. The Knicks were on NBC every Sunday. And I know it was weird. The first year the Knicks were bad in my lifetime, Tommy, the 01-02 season when they went 30-52. And obviously that season before the year started, everybody thought the Knicks, you know, definitely a 48-51 team with Van Gundy. And everything just went wrong. That year, the Knicks, as usual, were scheduled to be on national TV like 20 times. And by the time it got to February, the Knicks, like, schedule got changed around so much. Every Sunday afternoon game went to being like Sunday nights that year because they actually got yanked from national TV seriously about 10 times that year.
Well, obviously that's a huge knock against the business of, you know, ratings for the NBA, and that can't make David Stern go ho 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 on Christmas. That's for sure. So hopefully, you know, you're looking at over the next couple of years, there's going to be some serious changes here, and you know, the Knicks can get back.
And you know,
the
new garden
now
won't be done now for about the new garden. They were saying the new garden was going to be done by, you know, when LBJ gets here, whoever next season. But that's not going to be done for another 5 or 6 years still. So I don't think the Knicks need a new garden. I understand why.
Oh.
The money, the revenue. I'm a guy who doesn't like change. I'm a Yankee Stadium and Shea Stadium guy. But I understand why this stuff happens. It's money. It's dollar bills. It's comfortable seats. I get it. But I don't think the garden even needs to be redone, but I'm sure it'll be great. But it's not going to be done for another 5 or 6 years, Tommy.
Well, Shea Stadium needed to go. I wish I could have been the one to blow that place up. But to me, 4 or 5 years you're talking about, I think the garden is fine as it is right now and still the world.
I think it can use maybe a little tweaks here and there, but it does need to be redone.
And it has been. They always go through some changes every couple of years, but the massive construction changes to me is
they don't need that though.
I'm not sure it's there. They think they do, so that's, you know, kind of at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. But I think the garden is fine just as it is.
I guess so. And we'll, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, change. Some people like change. I guess I'm not old school. Sometimes I'm just so set in my ways. I don't want change. Like I said, I didn't want to move across the street. I want 61st. I wanted to stay. Right there, 646-478-5554. The Knicks will open up down in Miami before the second game of the year, the 30th, in Charlotte against LB and the boys. Hopefully maybe Raymond Felton will be on that team if he gets the contract done. Look, Sean May went to the Kings. Hopefully he can get – I can't even say get his career resurrected because it was really never there, but maybe he can get something started. I mean, I have a lot of North Carolina friends. I mean, Tommy, does Sean May have a career in the league, or is this like – this is his last chance?
I don't see him with much of a career in the league. I mean, he is when he came in, he was an athletic. You know, he wasn't a super athlete, but he was a pretty decent post player with some size and some good footwork. And you know, when you lose that over a couple of years with injuries and just not playing, all of a sudden you become stagnant and you become, you know, kind of cemented. I don't think he's that good of a jump shooter. I don't know. You know, is he a guy who's going to come in and just grab rebounds and be a defensive guy?
You know, Tommy, that those four guys from that North Carolina team, none of those four have really become studs in the league. I mean, some people say Marvin Williams is going to get a lot better. Rashad McCants, you know, he's been pretty good. He has been great. Sean May, obviously, has not really been good. Rashad McCants, Sean May, Marvin Williams, I'm missing one guy from that group.
What do they have, four or five?
Four. It was four from that team. McCants. Felton, excuse me, sorry, who I said first. Felton's pretty good, but none of those four have really been stars in the league.
I think Williams is going to have a huge year this year. And
yeah, a lot of people are high on Marvin. And where's Jamal? And speaking of the Hawks, Tommy, where you see them playing small and starting Joe Johnson as a three and Maul as a two, or do you see Jamal being their sixth man?
It's a good question. He'll probably be a sixth man. And to go back to what Benji was saying about guys re-upping with their team, Joe Johnson is one of them.
Yeah,
I hope that happens.
Yeah, that's scary right there.
I'll tell you what, man. I hope that happens so Al Horford becomes available, because I think Al Horford's better than David Lee. I think he's quickly becoming one of the top two or three power forwards in the game. I would love Al Horford being on the block for us. So if Joe Johnson gets an extension, that's fine. But to answer your question, I think Jamal, that's his role, man. Come off the bench, make shots.
He'll be in a crunch time, because you know he can sink the shots with 2 minutes left.
He could take them.
We don't know, and we know that about Maul, boy. He can definitely get he can get off more shots than anybody, man.
I don't know if he can make them. He'll take them.
The one thing about Jamal, Tommy, and I got a chance to know him pretty well the last 5 years, is that because of the way he plays, you'd probably think he's like the nastiest guy, but like he'll take that crazy shot from 30 feet out with 8 on the shot clock, and he'll just give this like puppy dog face like, me? What are you talking about, me?
Yeah.
Like, was it me? I know what you're talking about, man. But anyway, 646-478-5554 is the number. KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio. Let's go to area code 347. You're on the air, KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio. Take it away. 347, you're on the air, KnicksBlog.com. You got 3 seconds. Let's go. Going one.
Hello,
what's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, brother? Yeah, this is Barnaby Barnuckles here. I was listening to you guys' conversation earlier. You guys are talking about the Knicks playing here at Christmas.
Yeah, yes.
Isn't that great?
What's your name again?
Barnaby Barnuckles. Okay, get it straight, brother.
Now, see, this is funny. I like this. This is good.
Listen, what do you mean this is good? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to...
Listen, go on. Where are you going to say Christmas? I'm with you. Go ahead. Go Christmas. Go ahead.
I mean, you know, I'm just quite excited. I mean, I usually go swimming in the Hudson River, but I have to give this up because I got to see these guys play Christmas time. I mean, hey, that's amazing. Let me ask you, how do you feel about LeBron James? Do you think that guy's coming down here?
I mean, we hope. We can only pray, and, you know, whatever religion you are, you know, go to the synagogue, go to the church, go to the temple, pray. We just got to pray that LeBron comes. Just all we can do is pray, right? That's all we can do, right?
That's it. Barnaby Barnuckles, man. We may have to send you up there, man. Go up to Ohio.
I will.
Get Drew Carey in a headlock and make this whole thing happen, man.
And let's make it happen. Let's just roll some taco meat on our chest for a little bit and just hope it happens. Okay. This is great. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. Have a good night, guys.
Hey, can we get this guy a spot on the show?
Barnaby Barnuckles.
That'd be great.
Oh, he's still on the air.
That'd be great. No, man, if you could get me on the show, I can.
Do you have one more thing to add?
I did, but I figured you were going to cut me off, so I was just going to let it go. I don't want to waste your time. I mean, seriously, you got all the callers here, so...
No, well,
you know.
What's the other thing you want to add?
We like
Barnaby Barnuckles, obviously.
Listen, I appreciate you keeping me on the air this long. You know what? Keep on doing a good job, guys, okay?
All right, man.
Barnaby Barnuckles, ladies and gentlemen.
You call any time, man. That's fine. Listen, we talked about it last week. If you're going to come on, you know, and disguise and do some different things, be funny, man. That's it. Last week, the kid passed the phone over. He was talking about falafels, and he couldn't take it anymore.
We can take a funny call. Listen, one thing on the show, if you want to get off basketball for 5 minutes and just talk about whatever, that's fine. Like, obviously, it's for the hour, we want to talk basketball for 50 minutes. But if you want to call and just shoot the breeze with us for a couple minutes, that's fine, too. Don't be afraid. You know, maybe one show before the summer's over, we'll just have a summer show and we'll talk about nothing. But don't be afraid, you know, just talk about whatever here on the KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio.
Barnaby Barnuckles.
I'm guessing that's not his real name, but I like the name, I like the style, I like the flow. And if he wants to do a segment on our show, once the show for a minute span, the Barnaby Barnuckles segment presented to you by Brass Knuckles of America, we can do that. 646-478-5554 is the number. Let's go to our next call. He's calling from area code 973. You're on the air, KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio. Hello, 973, you're on the air. Hello, 973 is off the air, 646-478-5554. Let's try.
What would BT say if there was a blank? If nobody.
What does he say? He. I just feel bad for the producer because I think the producer gets the wrath if there's a blank phone call.
He said, "Just be ready." He said, "All I ask is just be ready. Be ready to
call." I will say this: with the internet radio, it's a little tougher because sometimes people forget your phone number.
Absolutely.
Or if you're used to calling BT, or you're used to calling, you know, Francesa or you know whoever on whatever show, you're used to hearing John from Queens. You're on the air, so it's a little different when you're sitting on your phone, even though you know your area code is say 646, and you hear 646. You're on the air. You might have to get ready for that, but that's just a new wave of the future. We're not mad at you. Just, you know, like I'll just do the line from BT. Just be ready. 646-478-5554 is the number. Let's go to another area code. I don't know where it is. Area code 404. You're on the air at Nixblog.com, Nixblog Radio.
Hey, this is Bernard, and I'm calling in from Atlanta.
Wow. Time out, Bernard. Before we've had San Antonio. We've had California. Now the ATL on the show, Nixblog.com. What is? Are you talking about the Hawks or the Knicks? We were just talking about. I'm about to go crazy here. So first, we were talking about the Spurs and San Antonio calls.
Though.
We're talking about the Hawks and Atlanta calls. If we start talking about the Grizzlies, is Elvis gonna call?
I want to hear what's going on in Atlanta, man. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to know if they signed any of the one point guards that you guys have mentioned so far tonight. Obviously, there would be like a big overload of guards. And I was wondering, is it possible that either – yeah, I was wondering if, like, possibly Duhon or Nate, if he was re-signed, is it possible that one of them would be traded along with Lee since there would be such an overload at the guard position?
For the right trade, anything is possible, wouldn't you say, Tommy?
I think bringing back Lee and or Nate, and obviously Duhon's already here. Duhon's got a good contract. They do have a lot of good contracts that can be traded. I think – ultimately, aim one is to get rid of Curry. So, yes, I can see Nate and or Duhon or any or Lee, anybody being moved with Curry in order to get his contract off the roster, for sure, 100%.
Okay, well, thank you for the phone call here at 646-478-5554, NixBlog.com, NixBlog Radio. Sorry about getting a little excited about all the calls from around the country. It's exciting. The show's only been on for a couple of months. It's exciting to get calls. You know, obviously exciting when Long Island, the Bronx, and Brooklyn and Westchester calls. When you get a call from Atlanta, San Antonio, California, one day I was doing a show and Tommy, you weren't there. I got a call from the Poconos. You know, it's exciting. It's a big-time show on ESPN, for example. You get a call from not your market that's obviously listening on the web. You know, it's definitely exciting. It's an honor. It's a very good compliment to the show and the job that myself and yourself is doing, and people obviously love it, and you think it's good now, which the season starts. And if the Knicks are winning, call and celebrate. If they're losing, no, by all means, call and vent, because you know why? We'll be with you. 646-478-5554 is the number. Let's go to area code 914, a little Westchester action. You're on the air, NixBlog.com, NixBlog Radio. Area code 914, Westchester, speak. 3, 2, 1, you're gone. We're going right to the next call, 646-478-5554. Let's go to area code 518. You're on the air, NixBlog.com, NixBlog Radio.
Yeah, so on the top
of the
point.
I like the fact that you were ready.
Ready? Who's that?
Yeah, what's your name?
Chris.
What's up, Chris?
I was wondering, at the point guards that you mentioned, who do you feel is the best fit? Personally, I think Jason Williams would be the perfect fit for, you know, pick and roll and fast break.
Well,
but
it was Jason Williams,
you know,
2 years ago. And listen, if he can play, because one thing about Jay Will, Tommy, he can shoot from the outside. He's a good passer. If he, and I don't know what his body's like right now. That's the thing. If he's the Jay Will of the, you know, 06 Miami Heat, obviously we know Wade was the man on that team. If he's that Jay Will, yeah, that's not bad. But if he's a broken down Jay Will, no. But, yeah, because Tommy, he can run the pick and roll. He can obviously stroke it from the outside. Might not be a bad fit either, actually, the more I think about it. But he's got to be in good physical shape.
I think I like, and I don't want to sound, you know, like I'm contradicting myself here, but I do think Sessions is the best player. As far as being the best fit, that jury is still out. So, you know, I think they could figure out a way to make it work for him. So, to me, I think clearly Sessions is the best player. And, you know, I would venture to guess that he would be the best fit. But, listen, Duhon and Williams, you know, that's not a – I mean, it's not a great point guard combination, but it's not terrible. And listen, it could be effective in the system. I'd rather have a guy that guards. So, Jay Williams to me does not guard anybody, never guarded anybody even when he was healthy. So I'd rather have Sessions defensively and then take your chances about what he can do in the system. I think
Tommy, I need to find something out, by the way. We'll get back to your Nick calls in a minute. It's something really important to me. You've probably thought about, because you're a hip-hop fan, to think myself. You know the song, and I've always thought about it. I might even ask John Starks to the game this year. You can't ask the player on the air. You know the song by Biggie about he's rapping about the guy from the Knicks?
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered about who is he talking about? Or is Biggie just making that up in his rhyme? I'm sorry, this is totally off topic, and please forgive me about this, bringing this random topic up.
Well, you're taking me back. The name, it's,
remember the song? It's got a story to tell, and he talks about, he's like, basically how he's apparently messing with a girl who...
Oh, yeah.
New York Knicks player, obviously. There's some
second album, the double album.
Yes, it's the last song on the first CD. Is obviously some...
Well, I'm Ready to Die or on the second one?
Life After Death. It's the last song on this one.
Yeah, on the double. Yeah.
And basically, he obviously uses some, curse words. He's talking about getting off a player from the New York Knicks. And at the end of the song, he's talking. He's like, yeah, I walked in. It was one of those New York Knicks guys. I'm like, no, did Biggie make that up? Is it just a story? Or, like, is there really a story behind that?
It could have been made up in his head. I'm trying to think who would have been back. Maybe it could have been a John Wallace.
Could have been maybe Chris Childs. Could have been John Starks. Could have been Patrick.
Well, yeah, could have been.
I mean, it's probably such a small story, but just because, when it comes out of a legend's mouth like Biggie, you wonder, who is he talking about, I wonder?
That's, we'll have to do some research.
I know I just randomly, you probably didn't see that one coming. That's the thing about me, Tom, he's going to show with me. I'm always on topic, but every now and then I might just go somewhere. And I always keep it related to the Knicks, though, but I just go somewhere on another planet sometimes. So just forgive me. But, yeah, I always wonder, because I was listening to the song yesterday, and I'm like, who is Big talking about?
I like that. We'll have to do a little research. Get the mole search. I think it's probably fiction, but who knows?
If you had a guess, Now, it's got to be a player between 94 and obviously Big died in 94 and 96. So it's probably not Wallace because he was a rookie in 96 and the album is probably already made. You have to say a guess. What player was it?
96. Wallace was
anywhere
right
between 94 and 96. You figure, because who knows when the song was written?
That's a good question. Mason.
Yeah, that's who. I'm thinking it was Mason or Oakley, because those guys I think are always out in the town. I could see Mason mixing it up with Biggie at a club or something like that, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Taking these hot stuff with writing in his hair, and here comes Biggie and Puffy and Craig Mack into the club. All those guys, and there's Mason with his posse and Stuff probably just got out of line.
Well, let's put it this way. If you were a player, right, and you found out a girl that you were messing with, in the club one night was linked to, to any up-and-coming rap star, would
and
you
Biggie was more than up-and-coming. He was a god then, too.
What would you do? Would you put yourself in the middle of controversy, or would you take a step back and find somebody else?
If I'm a big-time New York Knicks player, if this is a girl that I'm just, quote, messing with, I'm just going to take a step back and go find another girl.
Me too, I would say, because you don't need the drama. You got to play, man. You got focus.
You got to focus.
Girls in the world ain't nothing but trouble.
No, they can be, and sometimes those boys can be too. And if you want to chime in on this topic, we have 11 minutes left. If you know who the player that Biggie's talking about, there will be a prize. If you actually know the song, I got a story to tell. I believe it's track 12. It's the last track on Biggie's Life After Death album. You know who the player is. You have official proof. We're going to give you a blog for a day on mixblog.com, Mixblog Radio.
Oh,
you have to have
right.
official proof on who the player is. Let's get back to the phones for the last 10 minutes of the show, and that we got way off topic. Mixblog.com, Mixblog Radio. Let's go to area code. Let's go to 727. You're on the air, Mixblog.com, Mixblog Radio.
Yeah, this is Dre calling from Tampa.
Oh,
what's up, Dre?
This is great.
What's going on, man? Yeah, I'm out here in the wilderness out here in Tampa, right. Man. I just want to thank you guys for all the info that you guys, give us.
We want to thank you for listening, man. We're just trying to get this ship started. And it's,
Hey, Dre, how far are you from Clearwater, bro?
Actually, 15 minutes.
Nice.
Right outside of Tarpon Springs.
Oh, okay.
15 minutes from the beach, man. It's real nice down here.
I've been down there. My uncle's down there. I've been down there.
All right, cool. I definitely don't know who Biggie was talking about, but
no,
I was actually just talking. Yeah, I definitely know the song, but you got me on who he was actually talking about.
Who do you think he was talking about?
Mason.
I want to say Mason, man, myself.
Yeah, because couldn't you see Mason out in the clubs mixing it with Puff Daddy and Big E and Craig Mack? Remember Craig Mack? He had a hit with New Flavor in Year.
Even
mixing
year.
Up with those boys,
remix.
Mason, those guys. The remix.
Most definitely. When I used to live in Virginia, Mason used to come down there a lot. He was always out in the streets, man. Always.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I think the consensus is it was Anthony Mason Biggie's talking about. That's the guess.
Oh, definitely.
Or Oakley. I think Oakley was out a lot, too.
Oakley was a little bit older, though.
He didn't need to
I
do
just
that,
can't
no.
see. I can't really see Oakley and Big E running with the same crowds at the same time. But Mason was a little bit younger, so I could kind of see Mason.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you guys. I'm thinking it was Mason. I'm thinking it was Mason.
Well, actually, what I called in about, I'm just the summer of LeBron. I think everybody's gonna be signed up.
You think that Cleveland's gonna sign LeBron this summer?
Yeah, I just can't see us getting one of those big trades. Do you think it's actually going to slip into 2011?
You're saying that he doesn't opt out?
Yeah, he doesn't opt out.
I suppose it's possible, but knowing that he can get a huge contract and God forbid he busts his leg and his career's over, he still gets that money. I don't think he's going to not opt out next season. I mean, is there a chance that he signs with him this summer? There's a 2% chance, maybe, but there's no way he doesn't opt out next summer. I mean, do you agree, Tommy? Is there a chance he just opts out in 2011?
No, I think it's a 0% chance he signs the extension this year. And really, here's my take on the whole situation. And again, talking to this scout,
because yeah, right, he could just wait till 2011 if he wanted to.
Well, he could, and it's Cleveland's got to have to make some moves. But when you see what the Lakers have done and what the Celtics have done, and other teams have gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. To me, it really kind of makes me think, and again, I've said this countless times, and to me, the biggest thing is LeBron, if he wants to win a championship, how does he let these other teams get so much stronger? Like, how does he not bring in Ron Artest? How does he not say,
exactly,
Ron Artest, you come play with me, let's battle for championships for the next 5 years?
I don't understand
why he hasn't done that. To me, it's a pure sign that he's going to have all his options open, and I'm telling you right now, Knicks fans have been talking about it all this past year, and saying how the team stinks and there's no talent around him. When you compare the talent, trust me on this.
No, I'm with you, Tommy. I'm with you
100%. When you compare the talent in June of next year with Cleveland's talent June of next year, the Knicks will have more talent to surround him. I promise you.
Oh, definitely agree.
Do you
agree.
Think
definitely
there's any
agree.
Chance that LeBron just waits till 2011 to opt out, though?
I don't. It's possible, but I think he's waiting to see what the Knicks do, and they can prove to him that they'll have the flexibility and the talent more so than Cleveland has, and then he'll make his decision. And if he thinks that the Knicks aren't going in the direction that they should be going, he'll probably wait another year. But to me, I think that's way, way premature, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, no question. And it's definitely wait and see. There was no guarantee what's going to happen. We thank you for the phone call from Florida. We really appreciate it. Here,
thanks,
I didn't mean to cut you off right there on the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. We've had a ton of calls. We don't have many calls left. The lines have been hot and heavy all night here on the KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. We've come a long way since the first show. Tommy, and let's try to get a few more calls in before the show's over. 646-478-5554. Let's go to Dirty Jersey, area code 201. You're on the air at KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Not much. Just real quick. I was doing some research online while you guys were talking about the Big E thing.
Oh, really? Wow. Nice. He's a listener, Tommy.
Nice.
On InsideHoops.com, again, this isn't, official, but they were a lot of people were talking about how they heard it was actually John Starks.
Oh,
really?
You had it first. You, Tony, you had it first.
So...
Starks, I think, like to go out and mess with the ladies. And there's nothing wrong with that either, guys, obviously. You're a single guy playing for the New York Knicks in the mid-90s. Why wouldn't you?
Right.
So basically, both ends of the spectrum. You got John Starks, and then you got Biggie. I mean, that's about a 300.
So basically, what's the story? The story was that Biggie was messing with Starks' girl? Is that how it was?
Yeah, I guess because there was something in it where – how tall was Starks again? Was he
He's like 6'5". He actually, in the song, Biggie says 6'5", and Starks is listed as exactly 6'5".
Right, exactly, because they were saying originally, that's how the rumor started that it was Starks, because he mentioned the 6'5". But I didn't really find a lot on the actual story of what happened, other than, I guess, they say Biggie was telling a true story. Again, I can't confirm it 100%, but a lot of what I was reading was saying John Starks.
One thing here on the KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio, we're going to talk real New York Knicks that you're going to get from anywhere else, from 1050, from FAN, from SNY,
solid
from MSG. We're going to bring up little topics like this that, you know, the fans, you know, Knicks fans, Tommy, have been thinking about this topic now for 12 years, but no one's brought it up on the radio. And we're bringing it up. Who is Biggie talking about?
It could have been Kennard Winchester. I mean, he was probably 6'4", 6'5", wasn't he?
Well,
I'll bring the names out.
Could have been Corey Gaines.
Corey Gaines was right around that area. Wasn't Kennard Winchester in that range? I think he was.
Yeah, he could have been about 6'4", 6'5". And, yeah, that's the about in the song. Well, Starks is listed. You know, between 6'4", and 6'8", is all the same to me, with the exception of on the court. So in the song, Biggie does say, yeah, one of them 6'5 dudes, and if you look in the back of Starks' basketball card, he's listed as exactly 6'5".
That's a great look, though. I like that, the inside hoop stuff. That's a good call.
Definitely,
right,
and we thank you for the phone call here at 646-478-5554. We'll try to get one more call. If you have more research on the Biggie situation, let us know. If you just want to talk Knicks, you're the last call. So let's go to area code 347. You're the last call of the night at KnicksBlog.com, Knicks Blog Radio.
Yeah, it was definitely John Starks, huh?
Oh, you have proof.
Yeah, I don't have any proof. This is Barnaby Barnacles once again, ladies and gentlemen. But the whole thing is, it had to be John Starks. I was thinking that. Listen, don't you have guy? You should get this guy on the freaking radio. I mean,
well, we've had him on, actually.
We have him on.
I know. I remember. I've heard. But come on. You got to get him on. You got to act. So,
real quick, Barnaby. Real quick, Barnaby. We usually
don't
have the same caller on. Wait, stop. We usually don't have the same caller on twice.
That's my donut. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ned. I'm sorry. That's my donut this girl has. Put that donut down. Okay.
Okay. Now, what were you saying? Real quick, we got a minute with you on the air. So you think it was Starks, too?
I believe so. I was going to, you know, yeah. You know, it's either that guy or the other guy, you know. But it definitely is, I surely agree, definitely is John Starks. You know, I can smell it off the elevator. Definitely is.
Barnaby Barnacles, ladies and gentlemen. Usually, the same call is knocking on the air twice in a row. And it's very surprising here on KnicksBlog.com, KnicksBlog Radio. Listen, we do have time for one more call because it's the last call on the line, so let's go to area code 201. You're on the air. You are officially the last call of the show. Area code 201, you're on the air. Hello. Okay, the calls are done. Tommy, we got about a minute and a half left. It's been a great show, interesting show as always. We had a little fun. We talked a lot of serious Knicks issues with Sessions, with Stackhouse, with Jay Will, with Jamal Tinsley. I'm almost glad we didn't really talk much about David Lee and Nate Robinson, because what more can you say now at this point?
You can't say any much more, and again,
we've covered all the issues of that.
Without question, you know, we didn't get into Nate's twittering, but, you know, he seems to feel
real
like...
Real quick, Nate, yeah, Tommy, you just mentioned that. Sorry, I'm going to cut you off, please. Excuse me. Nate says he wants to be back. He met with Knicks officials and his agents, people. And we'll see what happens with that. Basically, that's basically what Nate was saying on his Twitter today.
It's all up in the air, and I think at the end of the day, it comes down to does Donnie Walsh feel that he can use Nate as an asset in a trade? And if he does, then he'll sign him, you know, cheaply, and he'll be back for a year. And, you know, again, when it comes down to it, just remember, Knicks fans, it's the absolute opposite end of the spectrum from Isaiah. Donnie has negotiation skills thanks to his law degree and being obviously an executive for so long. So just be patient with him. It's tough to be patient when the schedule comes out and when training camp dates come out, which, knock on wood, I will be at. So,
are you going to training camp?
We're working on the credentials, sir, and I'm hoping that is the case. I will definitely be at media day. I hope you will be.
I'm a fixture at media day.
There you go.
I'll probably roll with you this year because I don't think I'll be rolling with Brandon only because of his show.
He might have to pop in. He tries to do a little voice stuff and put that on the show.
Yeah, I'm just gonna tell Brandon that day. I mean, I don't work with him directly, but hopefully I have a voice in his ear. I'm just gonna tell him to skip his show that day and just hang with me at media day. That's probably what he should do. But I'll definitely be there as well. I'll probably, if I don't go with Brandon, I'll probably go with you. We got time for that, and it'll be fun. We'll get some interviews for the show, and we'll play them that. Hopefully, we'll try to play them that night, if not the next day. Try to get them on the air ASAP.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll get some stuff, and it's been a great show. We only got about 45 seconds left, so Tommy, thank you.
Thank
as
you,
as always,
buddy.
And I know the Biggie thing took you by surprise, but it was fun. I mean, cause I think, you know, people have definitely thought, because every time if you're a hip-hop guy, you're in your car, the song comes on, you're like, who's Biggie talking about? You know what crosses your mind, people.
It's definitely nice to get off track for a little bit and at least keep it Knicks-centric, but... Again, man, regionally, you've got people from San Antonio calling, from California, from Atlanta. keep the calls coming, man. The shows have been great. The calls have been great. We appreciate everything, for sure.
Definitely, Tommy, and it's been a great show. And, Tommy, I will see you soon. And also, we'll be back next Wednesday, 9 o'clock, here on Knicksblog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. Thank you to all callers. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you, Tommy. And we will see you next Wednesday, 9 p.m. But if something big happens, we'll be on the air ASAP, Knicksblog.com, Knicks Blog Radio. See you next Wednesday, 9 p.m. See ya. But I'm not Michael Kay. Hello?